Hey, good morning, everyone. So glad you come with us on a beautiful Sunday morning here at Thomas Village Baptist Church. We got a few announcements, and I'm going to let Miss Tammy Budsoe start us off, and then I'm going to finish you here in a minute. Come up here, Miss Tammy.
Good morning. I am excited. I'm like high on life this morning. All right, so we got two big announcements from Awana. But the first one, yesterday some of you know that Robin, as our journey leader and coach, went with Virginia to Appomattox for the journey, come to the Mount Journey Bible Quiz. It was for Trek and Journey. And she got to compete with, she got to join a team, so she wasn't by herself, and got to compete. And those two teams, but they had the best time, and she represented our church. You'd be so proud, so well, and it was just a wonderful time for oh my goodness, I'm just telling you, these kids were answering questions like, what verse starts with under beep? I mean, it's like, what? And some of them, it was two words they got out. And, you know, me and Robin are like, okay. And just, it was amazing. I mean, and quoting 3 and 4 scripture passages, and the children, there's hope, people. We know that, but there's hope. And we're just so proud. And so I know she's my daughter, but I don't care. We're proud of our Virginia this morning. And the good thing is, you know, when you do something like that, you make connections and network, and we found out so much that is out there for Awana. So I'm just going to tell you, next year we're going to be on fire for some stuff we've learned about. Secondly, with Awana, Versathon was last Sunday. And if you haven't heard, we had 404 verses recited here. 404. Now, we had a little competition because some people couldn't be outdone by others, especially brothers. But I'm one of those, there's nothing like healthy competition. So if you participated in a Awana Versathon, I want you to stand up. Don't have to come up front. I won't do it to you. Yay. If you participated, okay, we had... So I'm going to tell this very quickly. If you sponsored somebody, we're taking money this morning. If you forgot or whatever, we're taking money this morning. So our goal is $650. And so, but I'll tell you right now, our Brock had to be his brother. That's what it was. That's what that got down to. Because Eli had finished, he'd gotten 62 verses. And then Brock's like, nah, I got to beat him because make trouble at home. So he got 66. So we're so proud of him. We're so, so proud of him. But, you know, we had kids who did 10, 11. That was just as hard for them, our little Sparkies. And I just loved them. And every single person, you know, they had to tell me, okay, I'm going to do 7 verses or I'm going to do 10. Every single one went above and beyond every verse they thought they would do. So, I'm sorry, they're just my kids. I'm so excited. So, but just if you got a donation to give for that or sponsorship, just see me, you know, or Wayne. One other quick thing, since I was up here, they told me to go ahead and remind you about the Mother's Day shoebox gift. The paper's outside if you don't have one. Fill a box. There's a big stack along the wall beside that real fancy Christmas tree made of boxes. But, this tells you some things you can put in it. You can go online to Operation Christmas Child if you want other ideas. And then if you're going to give that in honor or memory of your mother, aunt, sister, cousin, whoever, okay, men. There's men that raise their children single. They're the mama in the house. In memory of or in honor of and your name, and we're going to make a PowerPoint, and we're going to need that by the first Sunday of May. So there we go. I'm done with those announcements, but we've got a lot to be proud of, folks. Amen.
Okay, we got a few more announcements here. You got your bulletin here. There's several announcements in here, and I'm going to highlight a couple of them. April 15th, we're going to have a Holy Week speaker on a Friday, which is the 15th. So be here if you can. That's always good. We're going to have a Bible school meeting right after church. This is a short little meeting in the fellowship hall. And Bible school is going to be June 13th through 15th this year. It's going to be a three-day wonderful event. And as I heard this morning, this is going to be the best Bible school that we have ever had. So in Jesus' name, that's right. And got an announcement about the recovery through Christ. Since the brother Jack was up here 2 weeks ago, if you remember, he's got a wonderful ministry up there, and they're needing some men to volunteer to come up on Saturdays to sit with the man and minister and interact with them. If you feel led to do that,
they're also redoing that top level now. They're starting to work on the top floor.
Okay, they're redoing the building. Okay, so if that's a ministry you think you might be interested in, pray about it and get with Brother Jack or the pastor here, and we'll get you situated. And if you need anything, the deacons are supposed to be help the people of the church. You know, if you got a need, get a hold of one of us, any of us. I know this is my designated week, but just let us know what's going on. If you got a need, whether it's just praying for you or any type of need, but just let us know. But with that, we'll bow with a word of prayer, and we'll get on with our service. Father God, as we just humbly bow, I just want to again thank you for another wonderful opportunity to be in your house. We invite you to come into here today, to be in the midst of us and bless us with your presence. Be with the brother Brian as he preaches the message that you've bestowed upon his heart, that it may come out clearly and you may take it and learn from it and glean from it. There's many folks out there in our church family and extended family that need our prayers. Let's just put those petitions up to you, that you may do with them as you fit, because it's all about what you want and what's in your plan. We don't know it a lot of times what your plan is, but ultimately we want you to be glorified in whatever you do. And just like I said, be with us and love us and guide us as you always do. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Be in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 this morning.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
That's such a good morning. I always love it.
I already got it from them.
You hush.
Anyway, our today, oh my gosh, I teach band. I don't know how to English today. I'm sorry. Our verse is going to come out of the Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. And if you guys know this one, you guys can stand and sing along with us. We would love for you all to sing along and praise his name with us today. So.
That saved a wretch like me.
I know Gary likes to sit down. I can help. Anyway, we're going to have y'all stand and sing. We're going to be a cappella this morning in our hymn. So we're going to sing number 135, Nothing But the Blood. I'm probably going to start you off like I do band class. So you're probably going to be like, what is she doing? Yeah, you go. And one, two, ready, go.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as but the blood of Jesus. For my pardon this I seek, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing this my plea, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that white as snow, no other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can for sin atone, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not of good that I have done, nothing but the blood of precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope and peace, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus.
And it's me again. All right. So our verse for this song that we have picked out is 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the archangel's voice, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then he who are still alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord.
Yes.
There's a peace I've come to know, though my heart and flesh may fail. There's an anchor for my soul. I can say it is well. Jesus has overcome, and the grave is overwhelmed. The victory is won. He has risen from the dead, and I will rise when he comes. when this darkness breaks to light and the shadows disappear, and my faith shall be my eyes. Jesus has overcome, and the grave is overwhelmed.
Thank you, praise team, and all you that were involved. And it's time for children's church. For those of you that want to go to children's church, this morning we will be in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And in case you haven't heard lately, nobody loves you like Jesus loves you. There's nothing you can do to make him love you less, or nothing you can do to make him love you anymore. Not only is there no one that loves you like Jesus, there's no one that has done so much for you as Jesus. And if you'll let him today, he'll do even greater things than you could ever imagine. His mercy and his grace is unfathomable. And again, as you're turning to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, I'm thankful to see you today. I've been taking some time off, making sure that my heart, my mind, and my life was focused in the right direction, and it's good to be back with you today. I'm thankful for all the encouraging words, whether it be from Hello Preacher, or it was good to see you in the office. Some have told me about the fire that's burning within their soul, and thankful that God is moving in them. And then others have simply just lifted me up, and you don't know how much that means to me. But do we have any words of praise or testimony this morning? I know we have one for sure. Anybody this morning got a word of praise? I thought so. Amen. To God be the glory. A lot of prayers has went up over that, and then it got extended a little bit longer than it was supposed to, than we thought it was, but God's in control. Anyone else got a word of praise or testimony this morning? Amen. Amen. It's good to see you back. Good to see you back. Anyone else this morning? Amen. Amen. Anybody else? Amen. Amen. Had a wonderful lesson this morning. Thankful for it. And if you don't, come, give Sunday school a shot. Just come and see. We've got a class for you. We can find you somewhere. And matter of fact, I think you'll be blessed by it. Anyone else? If I had a title for this morning's message, it would be The Roadblocks to Our Canaan. The Roadblocks to Our Canaan, or Roadblocks to Our Abundant Living. Roadblocks to Our Abundant Living. I've been reading a book called Maximize Manhood, and God's really been using it in my life over the past few months. And I know there's others, Brother Paul, Brother Colby, has been reading it as well. And so this morning I'm going to ask you to stand as we study and look at the roadblocks to abundant life, or roadblocks to our Canaan land. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning in verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of the spiritual rock, notice the capitalization, that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Verse 5, but with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness, or basically they died wandering in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they lusted, neither be adulterers as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happen unto them for an example, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he stand take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer, as you may be seated. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, in Jesus' name I come to you today, thankful, Heavenly Father, Lord, that you are the God of mercy and grace. And Heavenly Father, Lord, I confess to you my inability, my sin, and inadequacies for the job at hand, and I have nothing to offer other than the truth of God and the Bible. And so, God, today I pray you give me the ability to expound upon your word through the person of the Holy Spirit. I praise you and thank you for the music that's already been sung. I'm thankful, Lord, that Heavenly Father, Lord, we will rise in Jesus' name. But God, not only is that for the spiritual sense at the resurrection, but God, we also have your power to rise up no matter the situation we're in. And God, I pray right now, Holy Spirit, if there be one here today that does not know you, Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you would draw them to salvation. And God, also, if those that may be backslidden or running, God, that today be the day of reconciliation. And I give you all the praise, all the honor, and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You don't have to raise your hand, but I'm going to ask you a question, and by your amen, you can tell me whether this is what you want or if it's what you would desire in your life. Who in here today wants to live the abundant life that Jesus Christ has died for us to live? Anybody? Amen. Who in here today wants to see Thomas Village as a corporate church body, being the church that He has died for and designed for us to be? Amen? Amen. Some raised their hands. Thank God. Well, I told you about this book, Maximizing Manhood, and the idea behind part of this sermon this morning came from it. This book is written back in 1982, and the idea came to him from the writer, Edwin J. Cole, came from him from a guy named Campbell McAlpine, way back before 1982, and I got to looking at some of my other commentaries and reading behind them, and this outline that's here is kind of a basic one that I've never seen in my life, but in it, what we're going to see this morning is when we look at, if you remember a few Sundays ago, back on February, I believe it was the 20th, we preached a sermon entitled Standing at Kadesh. Do you remember that? You remember it's when the people of Israel, that God had delivered them out of Egypt and from under the hand of Pharaoh, and they had allowed him to go. And we talked about how they missed the opportunity to go over into Canaan land, into the promised land. And so this morning I want you to get your mindset through the person of the Holy Spirit that yes, we're saying today that we want to be fulfilled and living the abundant life. What was or what is Canaan land? Over in Numbers chapter 13, verse 23, we're described, and we preached this a few Sundays ago. But it said, remember the 12 spies went over there, and they were to inspect it and see about the land and to see about the cities and different things like that. And when they came back, when those 12 spies came back to report to Moses and to Aaron, in Numbers 13, 23, it says, a branch with one cluster of grapes had to be bore up between two men on a staff. Now imagine how big that is. And then it went and talked about the apricots and pomegranates and different things that were there. And they talked about how fertile the land was and how it was a good place to be. And they declared in Numbers chapter 13, verse 27, that truly this land of Canaan, where we're standing on the edge of, we're right on the fringe of, truly it is the land of milk and honey. You see, Canaan was the land of abundance. It was the land that God had intended for His people to inhabit. It was a place where the crops and the people could realize the fullness of God's promise and have the prosperity of His hand upon them. Now listen, it was not going to be an easy land. They were still going to have to plow. They were still going to have to work. They were still, like all of us, under the curse of sin. They, by the sweat of their brows would they put in the work and they'll see the growth. But it was the place that God wanted for them to have. But what happened? It's where they would realize the potential and the promises of God in their life. But if you remember what happened, Numbers chapter 14, verses 27 through 29, before that, you remember, they said there's giants in the land. Anak is in the land. And they said the city walls are too big and too great. And they said even though that this land is awesome, even though it's the place where God wants us and that we can find our potential and feel the power of God upon our lives, guess what? Moses and Aaron, we just think it's too hard. We think it's too difficult. We don't want to put the effort in to getting there. We don't want to have to sweat too bad. We don't want to have to give what needs to be given to reach the land of milk and honey, the land of abundance, the land where potential becomes reality. And in Numbers chapter 14, verse 27 and following, God said, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmurs against me? I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me, and say unto them, Truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in mine ears, so will I speak to you. Your carcass shall fall in the wilderness, and all that were numbered of you according to your whole number, from 20 years and upward, which have murmured against me, your carcasses will fall in the wilderness. You know what he said? Because you don't have the vision that I have for you. Because you don't have the desire that I have for you. Because you are rejecting my plan, my purpose, and the potential that I have for you, you are doomed to wander and never experience the abundant life. Even Moses, even the man of God, fell and was unable. He didn't reach the promised land. Numbers chapter 20, verse 12, he said, "But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, because you did not trust me to show my holiness in the sight of Israel, of the Israelites, you will not bring this assembly into the land that I have given to them." So how do we cross that bridge of relevance? The first thing that we've got to recognize is that God said over Jesus Christ himself in John 10:10 said, "The devil, the enemy comes not but to kill and to steal and to destroy, but I am come that you might have life, and that more abundantly." Flowing over, bubbling over. Can I tell you something? And you, this is probably no question. I've not been living the abundant life. I've not been experiencing that. But praise God, God's given me a desire back that I want to live the abundant life. I'm not going to ask you, but how many of you could honestly say, where I'm living right now in a spiritual sense, I'm living the abundant life? Praise God, I do believe that our best days are yet ahead. We've been praying that God carry us to another level. And as your pastor, guess what? I failed. And God, in His mercy and grace, He says, "I'm not going to let you stop yourself from having the abundant life. I'm not going to let you stand in the way of Thomas Village getting to the place of abundant life, getting to the place to where we are living in freedom. The place where true Christians on this side of heaven, not having to wait till the other side, where we're no longer held captivity by our sins, we're no longer held by the fears in our life. We don't depend on our emotions to dictate what we're going to do and how we're going to serve. We're not going to let shame and reproach fall upon us. Praise God, we want to get to the place, and I believe God wants to get us to the place where the power of the Holy Spirit becomes real in our emotions, in our homes, in our marriages, in our personal relationships, at work, so that we can say, praise God, not by my will, but by His grace and by His power am I living the abundant life. How many of you has ever thought to yourself, you're good, we live in the Bible Belt, you've said there's got to be more than this, right? Hallelujah, there is. There is. And today I pray that your heart and your desire is to reach the promised land. The Bible says that "I have not seen nor ear has heard what God has in store for those that love Him." But what we always do is we forfeit that to the other side of eternity. We think that we're just trapped and doomed to live in a... But praise God, we don't. God has a place that He wants to get us to. And as many... We try to disqualify ourselves. I try to disqualify myself. But the same way, that's what these men and women of the Israelites did. They ultimately disqualified themselves from being able to participate and to experience the land of milk and honey. This chapter is broken up basically into three paragraphs. You can look at it between verses 1 and 5, then verses 6 through 11, and then verses 12 and 13. Those are three paragraphs. I'm going to try to get through two of them this morning, and then we'll look at another one tonight. But look at that passage, verses 1 through 5. "Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant." I don't want you to misunderstand the things about the children of Israel. how that all the our fathers were under the cloud and passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all did eat the same spiritual meat and did drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ Jesus. But with many of them, God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now, the one thing that we've got to understand, the more that we recognize, and I'm looking forward to us going to the Passover meal, because we're going to learn more context about the Old Testament, the Old Covenant. And the Bible teaches us that what was the physical lived out in the Old Covenant is the spiritual reality in which we live right now. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 5 says this, "These serve as a copy or a shadow of heavenly things. As Moses was warned when he was about to complete the tabernacle, God said, 'Be careful that you make everything according to this pattern that was shown to you in the mountain.'" Or basically, what we physically see again in the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, is a pattern and an example of the spiritual truths that we live in under the new covenant in the blood of Jesus Christ. And so Paul, the Apostle Paul, what he's doing is he's taking the account of Moses and the children of Israel after they come out, and he's likening it unto us today. He was writing to a New Testament church, the church at Corinth. Notice, he says that, and one, they're a picture of a saved individual. They have been made free from Pharaoh and the Egyptians. They are no longer living in the bondage and the burden of the Egypt. Notice in verse 1, it tells us that they had God's presence ever with them. It says, "I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud." In Exodus chapter 13, verse 21, we see that they had the pillar of cloud by day that led them, and then at night they had the pillar of fire that led them. Hallelujah! That is the picture of the ever-present Holy Spirit in our life. He leads us and guides us, and hallelujah, there was a time, and I believe I'm going to be there again, that I could sit at a stop sign on a four-way stop, and God could tell me through the person of the Holy Spirit which way to go. We have that same power and that same presence, that same God that led them out of Egypt is living and breathing inside of us today. And praise God, He'll lead us and guide us. And He says, "I will never leave you and I will never forsake you." Ain't that good? That's good. But notice in the second part of verse 1, it says that they all passed through the Red Sea. They were delivered from one side to the other side. What happened is while the Hebrews, when they were led through there, that all of their history, all of the chains, they were broke loose and they went through that. But praise God, all of the history that had held them down, all of the chains that had been a burden, all of those men and women that had put a hand on them and tried to control them, what happened? The Bible says that the Red Sea came down and it destroyed them. And hallelujah today, if we've come through the river of Christ's blood, there is no more bondage. There is no more sin. There is no more shame. Hallelujah. The Bible says this, if we're faithful to confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. Do you know this, though? Unconfessed sin is unforgiven sin. Not because God will not forgive it. It's because we've not confessed it. Unconfessed sin is unforgiven sin. So we see that the presence of God was with them. That they had been delivered from their past. It had been overflooded by the power of God. But then we also see this. Just like we've been baptized into Jesus Christ, Moses is a type of Christ. Notice what it said. He is a picture of a Savior. Look what it says in verse 2. All were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Now, baptism means to be immersed, dipped into, covered, or to be a part of. In Moses, the entire Hebrew nation was made as one. Moses was the one that interceded between God and His people. And if they had an issue, they carried it to who? to Moses, and Moses carried it to God. Over in the garden when Jesus was praying, not only did He pray for His apostles, but He prayed for those, you and I, who were to come. And He prayed that we may all be one. As You, Father, are in Me, and I'm in You, may they also be one in us, so that the world may believe You sent Me. We don't have to go to Moses anymore. We don't have to go to... Why? Because we go to Jesus like they would have went to Moses. Now we go to Jesus, and He is the one who intercedes for us. The Bible says in Hebrews that He is ever living to intercede on our behalf. But then not only that, but they were also given life by God. They were fed by God Himself. Verses 3 and 4, and they did all eat the same spiritual meat. We know in Exodus 16, verses 13 through 15, that this was manna. The word manna simply means, what is that? It was the bread from heaven. It was what God gave them to sustain them in a dry and thirsty land. But not only did He feed them, He gave them water. Verse 4. And did all drink the same spiritual drink. You remember when Moses, that's why he got in trouble the second time. The first time over in Exodus chapter 17, the Bible says God told him to tap it or to hit it with His rod. And when He hit it, where there was no water, the rock broke forth and water began to pour out. The second time when he lost it, God said, but speak to it. And in anger He hit it. And God didn't punish the people. He punished His man and wouldn't let him in there. But notice it says what? That they drank from the spiritual rock, R-O-C-K, capital R. And that followed them, and that rock was Jesus. But what did Paul say? There is no other foundation that can be laid than that which is already laid, which is Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 9, verse 23, as it is written, look, I am putting a stone in Zion to stumble over and a rock to trip over. Yet the one who believes on Him, who believes in that rock, will not be put to shame. Matthew chapter 26, verse 26 and following. As they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it. Remember? The Old Testament, that's a picture, right? The Old Testament is the picture. Then what did Jesus say? Jesus said, it ain't the manna that was the bread of heaven, but I am the bread which comes down from heaven. And guess what? The water, that's not what sustains us. It's the blood of Jesus. Remember when we're there at the supper table, at the Lord's Supper, Matthew 26, 6 and following, as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed it, and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take and eat, this is my body. Then He took the cup, and after giving thanks, He gave it to them and said, drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood that establishes the covenant. It is shed for many for the forgiveness of sin. Hallelujah today. You see, as we look at that, Paul was letting them know, hey, we're really no different from the Old Testament believers. They didn't have the name Jesus Christ to call out of. All they knew that the Messiah was promised. But in the same fashion they had, as we had the power of God, they had the power in the presence of God. As we have been delivered from our enemy, from Satan and sin, and the chains that bind, they had been delivered. Praise God, they were baptized all in one. We've been baptized. You may not like me, you may not love me, but if you're a Christian, you got to love me, right? I mean, that's what the Bible says. We've all been baptized into one. And hallelujah, we are spiritually fed. This is the bread of life. We can eat from it anytime. It's there. So see, as we look back on Jesus and hold up the cross and the empty tomb, they were looking ahead, but they were still saved by faith through grace, not of works, only of Jesus Christ. And so we see that we're a lot like them. I mean, there's a lot of familiarity. But look what it says there in verse 5. But with many of them, God was not pleased. And they were overthrown in the wilderness, meaning that they were died in the wilderness. I got to thinking, and I thinking to myself, how would that play out today? Meaning that God was not pleased with them. Surely He's not pleased with some of us. And I got to thinking, you know what that means? We might make it into heaven, but we will not hear, "Well done, thy good and faithful service." You remember what he says over a few chapters back? He says that some's going to make it in smelling like fire. None of us want to get to heaven smelling like fire, do we? Matter of fact, I think that many of us today are longing for that abundant life. You know, it ain't about tingles running up your back. It ain't about it. We don't go by feeling. It ain't about the goosebumps on our arm, but ain't it good to feel Him? Ain't it good to come into His presence and to feel His Spirit fall down upon you and rise up within you, and you got to hold your hands up and you got to shout. You got to kick a leg every now and then. It's good to feel Him. Praise God, that abundant life is waiting. It's there. And I think many Christians today are wandering. What happened? See, the Israelites became prideful and arrogant and used their newly given freedom to continue in immorality and rebellion. Were they saved? Were they God's people? Yes. Yes. But they were not going to live the abundant life. They weren't going to make it to the land of milk and honey. They missed out on the promised land. How? How did they miss? What caused them to miss out? Well, these are the roadblocks. These are the things. Look there in verse 6. Now, these things were examples with intent that we should not lust. Notice first thing, 6a. It says, these things were examples. The word in the Greek literally means a visible scar. That there is a visible scar on the record of the Israelites. As I got to thinking about, you know what? If you look at my eye, you'll see a scar right there. If you look at my neck, you see a lot of scars right there. You know what they're from? Not wearing a seatbelt. And when I look in the rearview mirror now, there's a visible scar. There's an example of what not wearing your seatbelt will do. And see, Paul's saying, God has given us a visible scar in His people. He didn't polish it off. He didn't whitewash it. None of us are perfect. And He's saying, hey, I'm going to show you the failures of my people so maybe, just maybe, you won't fall to these failures and you'll make it to the abundant life. You'll experience the abundant life. Because see, we too can get prideful and arrogant and live in rebellion and live in immorality. The first roadblock is earthly lust. Earthly lust. With this intent that we should not lust after the evil things. Now when I say lust, our mind immediately goes to sexuality. But the Bible uses the term lust most of the time. It has nothing to do with sex. It simply means to covet, to greatly long for, or to have a fleshly desire. We're told that the Israelites, after being delivered from Egypt, in Numbers chapter 11, it says that they were contemptible people, saying that they were a contemptible people among them and had a strong craving for other food. They weren't satisfied with the manna nor the water. The Israelites cried again, "Who will feed us meat? We remember fresh fish we ate in Egypt, along with cucumbers, melons, leeks, onions, garlic. Now our appetite is gone. There's nothing to look for but manna." They said, "God, we're tired of your miracle." Right? They said, "We're tired of your miracle and we'd rather just be satisfied with earthly things. Matter of fact, I want the earthly things." Folks, I've had to deal with this for the past few weeks. I had to recognize that I was longing for the things of this world more than I was longing for the things of Christ. I want to satisfy my flesh. It's all about me feeling good. It's all about me looking good. It's all about me getting what I want, having what I want, and feeling what I want. You see, it goes all the way back to the book of Genesis, chapter 1. John, 1 John chapter 2, verse 16 says, "Everything that belongs to this world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of one's life. None of that has to do with sexuality. All of it's about a physical, humanistic desire to make sure that this stuff is fulfilled. What did Jesus say? If any man come after me, if any man wants to go on the same path that I go on, he has to deny himself daily and take up his cross and follow me. Remember, what did Eve say over in Genesis chapter 3, verse 6? She saw that the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes and to be desired. Right then, the first place we see what's happening, there's that lust. The lust, she said, I don't want gods. I don't want the one thing that he said is not good for me. That's the thing I want. How many of us could say today, we feel that lust? I mean, a lot of us get pious and we act like we don't have those hungers. You know what? If you don't have those hungers and if you don't have those desires, then you're not human. You know that? And you know what? In a human way, we can't overcome that. That's why it has to be superhuman. Right? That's because, again, why? Because we have the power of the Holy Spirit living in us, a supernatural power that has power over death, hell, and the grave, and it can give us victory over the lust that lies within this body. But we have to acknowledge it. We don't ignore it. And you give it to Jesus. You give it to Jesus. Is your main goal in life all about you? Making sure you're happy, you're satisfied, you're feeling good. It's easy to do. But if we give in to that, then that's a roadblock. And we will never reach abundant life on this side of glory. Roadblock number two. Roadblock number two. They took part in adultery. Verse 7, neither ye be adulterers as some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and then rose up to play. When we think of adultery, we think of little Buddhas. Or we think of those heads on Easter Island. Or pagan stuff we've watched and seen on Indiana Jones and stuff like that. You know what adultery simply is? It's to elevate and worship that which is man-made. Anything that is prioritized above God and His will in your life is adultery. We see it in the children of Israel. You remember in Exodus 32 when Moses was up on the mountain Sinai and he was receiving the law of God, what happened? And you know what? When Aaron went along with the people there and they made the golden calf, you know who it was supposed to represent? Yahweh. It was supposed to be Him. They had good intentions. But nothing compares. That's what Third Day says anyway, and I've experienced, and it's true. Nothing compares to the greatness of knowing the Lord. And you know what? I believe we're living in a time where a lot of pagan worship is coming, that there are false idols, Wicca, voodoo, all these other type of religions that's there. But the biggest thing that most humans will ever elevate above God is themselves. Listen to how Satan is described. Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12 through 14. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? He was good looking and he knew it. He had all the bells and the whistles and the jewels. He could sing. How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nation? For thou or you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. I am the most important one. And we're coming through a time where the situations we've been in the past 3 years with COVID, it's been all about me, take care of me, make sure me ain't sick and all that. But I'm going to tell you this, it's so sneaky that we don't even know we do it a lot of times. Huh? A lot of people today, why aren't they here? Simply because they didn't feel the need to come to church. They wanted to be somewhere else. Are they worshiping the Lord? I don't know. They may be. But the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, even more as you see the end times coming. In Judges chapter 17, verse 6, and chapter 21, verse 25, it described those days, and it said that there was no king in Israel, and everyone did that which was right in their own eyes. I know what's right. I don't care what anybody else says. Everybody else is wrong. I am the only one who knows. Let me ask you this today. Roadblock number one, satisfying the flesh. It ties in a lot to roadblock number two. Because I don't think anybody in here, you'd call somebody out for having a Buddha in their house or something like that. You're going to go to hell. You'd say something like that. But yet in our daily lives, how often do we say, me or he? Me or thee? And I have to admit, most of the time, it's me. And I push him back. That's the roadblock. See what I'm saying? I promise you, I've been whipped. I promise. The next one is this, sexual immorality. Sexual immorality is one of the biggest roadblocks today from us achieving and making it to God's promised land. Neither let us commit fornication, verse 8, as some of them committed, and in one day fell 23,000. If you look in Numbers chapter 25, verses 1 through 9, this is the one where it says that they fell and began to worship Baal Peor, and it says that 24,000 died that day. This is the one that I can kindly align with here in chapter 8 of 1 Corinthians chapter 10. But in Numbers, chapter 25, it says this, and they called the people unto the sacrifices of their gods, and the people did eat and bowed down to their God, and Israel joined themselves unto Baal Peor. Now see, what you're not going to read is about the fornication that was going on. But how do we know? Because what the worship of Baal Peor involved temple prostitutes, both male and female. And so when you went to worship him, immoral sexual acts was a part of worshiping Baal Peor. And the people of God accepted it and took practice in it. So what is fornication? Fornication is any sexual act outside of the bounds of marriage. That's what fornication is. And you know, today, one does not have to get caught up in an adulterous physical relationship to get caught up in sexual immorality. According to the BaptistMessenger.com, 68%, now this was in 2020, so these numbers could have changed, but the BaptistMessenger.com, 68% of men, Christian men, 33% of Christian women, and 50% of Baptist pastors watch porn at least once a month. This is the biggest issue we're fighting for revival right now. I believe it. I believe it's one of the biggest ones. And we've got to get real with it because you know what? It ain't going to go away. It's going to be getting more and more rampant as we see that day coming. And we, as believers who are trying to stand strong and want to see others coming up alongside of us, we got to stop blushing about it and be willing to say, I love you, not the sin, and I'll do whatever we need to do to help you have victory over pornography. Because here's the thing, it's just as addictive as heroin, it's just as addictive as cocaine, it's just as addictive as meth. death, but yet we have downed it so much people would rather say I'm addicted to these other things than admit that they struggle with pornography or any kind of sexual sin. But Ephesians chapter 5 verse 3, how do I know that those things are not proper? Because the Bible says, but sexual immorality and any impurity or greed should not even be heard of among you as is proper for saints. But I want to say this as well. Sin is sin. Sin is sin. Your sin is no bigger than mine. Mine is no bigger than yours. And God will forgive any of it. But we've got to be willing to fight for the victory. And I want to just say thank God for those of you that's been candid with me and told me of your struggles and your battles that you fight. Because you know what? I know you're human like I'm human. I know better how to pray for you. And praise God, if you didn't know it before, you know it now. I'm not standing above you in the boat and telling you to row. I'm right there with you rowing. And we're going to make it in Jesus' name. But are we willing to fight? What is it? Fleshly lusts? Idolatry and lifting ourselves or anything else? It could be a job. It could be entertainment. It could be family that we lift up before the Lord. There's sexual immorality. The next one, roadblock number 4, is tempting or testing God. Tempting, and believe you me, every one of these roadblocks I've had to deal with. I've had to deal with every, maybe not in the past week, but I have to deal with them in my life regular. And if you say you don't, then you're a liar. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents. You know what my daddy will used to tell me, and I tell it to my boy, not my girl as much, but to my boy. Boy, you trying me, son. You trying me. You about to go over the line. And that's what it means to test or to tempt the Lord. It means to try and entrap, to try to accuse of sin or of wrongdoing. But it also means to trying the Lord's patience and grace and His mercy. Numbers 21 verse 5. And the people spake against God and against Moses. Wherefore have ye brought us out to Egypt to die in this wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this bread. You know what? And we see it also when the Pharisees and the Sadducees, you remember they would come up to Jesus and say, which one of these is the greatest commandments? And then they'd say to Him, oh, is it right for you to heal on the Sabbath day and those things? They tried to accuse Him of evil. They tried to press against His mercy and His grace and His power. And see, that's what they were saying. They were saying, Lord, you don't know what you're doing bringing us out here. God, you made a mistake by giving us Moses as the leader. And look at this food. Surely this ain't the best you got. And they would keep murmuring and complaining. And you know, when they said, no, Lord, we're not going to go and fight. We're not going to go into Canaan land. Really and truly, that was just the line. You understand what I'm saying? They had done put, God had done put up, had, he told Moses, he said, remember we said that Moses was the ones they went through? Remember God told him, I'll wipe them all out. He was ready to kill them all. Oh, but the intercessor. How many times you reckon God's wanted to kill me? And Jesus has said, He's mine. Huh? We do that. You know, we get to that mindset, well, all I got to do is confess it. Don't we? Yeah, I know what I'm doing is wrong, but I'll just confess it. You see, that's a roadblock, tempting and testing God. And then the last one is, murmuring and complaining. Murmuring and complaining. You know what? I caught myself. God, I didn't know I was doing it, but God showed it to me. Look, it says in verse 10, it says, neither murmur ye as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyers. Exodus 15, 23 through 24. They didn't have no water. Where are we going to get water from? Where are we going to get water from? And then Exodus chapter 16, verses 2 and 3. Same thing. And they murmured against God, and they murmured against Moses. What does murmuring mean? It means to whisper and grumble complaints. Whisper and grumble complaints. Many of us wouldn't say it, but we get caught up in it. Why? Because our flesh is negative. Bottom line, it's negative. And we see the things that are bad. We'll complain about what God is doing or what God ain't doing. We'll complain about what God's asking us to do in our life or where He says He's going to take us. We'll complain about the people or the leaders that God have in our lives. We complain about the supplies He's given or the supplies He ain't given. You know, that's just the way we are. We'll always, I mean, they had manna. I mean, they didn't even have a name for this thing that fell out of heaven. And they got to the point and said, I'm tired of it. And they went, I'm just tired of this meal. Couldn't He give us quail? And He did. And He did. You know what? I've been there. And you know what? That negativity helps build those other blockages. You know what I mean? Because when we complain about what God is or ain't doing, what do? Then we think, well, I will just do what I want to do. You know what? I've thought about it. Yeah, I asked Amy the other day, I said, do you reckon if we just quit, would things get easier? I don't know, but I can't. I can't. And you know what today? The blood of Jesus cleanses all sin. And you know what? The roadblock of the flesh of lust, how do we get rid of it? The blood of Jesus. The roadblock of adultery and putting self first, how do we? The blood of Jesus. That old fornication and sexual sins, and we want to go on our phone or on our computer, what do we do? The blood of Jesus. The murmuring and the complaining, the testing of God, the blood of Jesus. You see, how does He end it? There, verse 11 is where we're going to end. He says, these things are your example. They're your visible scars. Not yours, but the people of God have borne these scars, and Jesus has borne your scars. And notice how it ends. It says, they are written for your admonition. They're written to build you up. You know what? No temptation. It goes on to say it. What you're facing in your life, somebody's already faced it. You know that? And you know what? They probably were falling into those things more than you are. But in Jesus' name, they come out of it. He lifted them up. He broke down those barriers. He broke those chains, so that they could cross over and from the ho-hum Christian experience to living the abundant life in Jesus Christ and knowing what it means to camp in Cana every day, the land of milk and honey. I'm going to ask the song player or the piano player and the song singer to come forward. Number one today, none of us are perfect, but do you want that abundant life? Do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you've been saved, but yet you've been settling for second-class wandering living? Today, you could say, God, I'm ready to tear down those barriers. I'm ready to break down those roadblocks, but you've got to do it. And in Jesus' name, I turn myself over to you, and I turn over this road to you so that you can prepare the way. The Bible says He's going ahead of us, meaning that any roadblock that we might have ahead of us, Jesus will break it down. Will you come today and just give your heart once again to Him? The altar's open. Come on right now. Maybe today you're here and you've never been saved. Or maybe there's been a time in your life where I thought I got right with the Lord, but I just don't know that I know that I know. Will you today come and accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Can I tell you something else? I do believe that our best days are yet ahead of us. But I realized something in my life. I had got to worry about getting numbers back up in the church, getting this program back up in the church and that back up. You know what it should be all about? One more soul, the next one that can know Jesus Christ. And when we lead that one to the Lord, we're to be about the next soul after that. Do you have that hunger today? How do we get it? We pray for it. I'm going to ask you to come, ask you to stand in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray right now that your Holy Spirit have your will and your way. Do what you would. Amen and amen. Won't you come today? People's already coming. Some of you today, you need to become a member. God's been telling you this is the place. There's a plan for Thomas Village. We're going to have the best vacation Bible school we've ever had. We're going to see our Awana grow, but guess what? There's a place for you in it. Won't you come today? Be seated.